That crisis goes by a number of names, but it's best known as the BP oil spill. Michelle Jacoby is a scientist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Office of Response and Restoration. She first got wind of the spill the evening of April 18th of this year.
NOAA works in scientific support for the U.S. Coast Guard, and so our Emergency Response Division gets the call to ask for support, and we immediately start setting up a trajectory for where we perceive the oil to go.
So is this hours after the 18th? Is it days after?
Oh, it's within hours of the call.
And pretty quickly you guys know that this is going to be a fairly good size incident.
Yes. Jacoby responding there to Federal News Radio's Chris Dorabek, the moderator of the lunchtime panel last week for the Affirm Luncheon program entitled Optimizing Mission Critical Communications from the Gulf Oil Spill. Captain James Cash is Deputy Commandant for Operations with the Chief Information Officer of the U.S. Coast Guard. He says one lesson they learned right away was the need to put aside a time-honored tradition of documenting the spreading Gulf oil spill on spreadsheets.
In an incident of national significance, take a hurricane, we stand up an ICS structure for that, you may not have power. So the reliance on a computer system locally is something that we've tried not to have be dependent upon. However, in this incident, we quickly discovered, as you started to ramp up to 20,000 people, 1,000 boats on the water, 100 aircraft in the air, and all of the information about that, we were not going to be able to manage that with paper and spreadsheets.
Cash told the Affirm audience that the Gulf oil spill presented numerous unique challenges to those managing the crisis, challenges which often had unexpected technical solutions. Usually, he says, vessels participating in a large-scale cleanup would be fitted with automatic identification systems. But that turned out not to be practical in this situation.
We quickly looked and said we're going to jump up from monitoring about 200 or so vessels. And if we all of a sudden start to add these AIS boxes onto 6,000 vessels of opportunity, will our system be able to hear them because they're in such close proximity? And with our research and development center, we quickly learned that was not the answer. We would actually have done a denial of service to the AIS system down there. So we had to shift gears and quickly started to look for commercial GPS satellite tracking systems that are used in logistics to actually screw in to the hulls of the boats and to some of the critical assets like the skimmers, the vacuum cleaners that were scooping up the oil.
In turn, NOAA's Michelle Jacoby had to adapt a database system developed by her agency to help the Coast Guard manage the crisis, accept data from the commercial GPS units.
And that was a lesson learned to figure out what are standard protocols that companies should have in place that it can be readily ingested, whether it be my system or a Coast Guard system or another system out there, so you can have these just best practices, ready access to the data sets. And the really funny thing I found was that in our culture now, everyone wants to know everything instantaneously. Right. You were talking about the QAing of data. So as soon as they found the ships, then they said, well, where are your field teams? And so we started to put them on each field team person, and you could see where the teams were going, and you could literally zoom in with these high-resolution imageries and see where folks were in the marsh, where they were next to the boom, and if they were taking a long lunch break. You could see it all.
The Gulf oil spill is unique in another way in that it is the first such crisis to unfold at a time when President Obama's open government initiative mandates as much transparency as possible. To that end, Jeffrey Levy, Director of Web Communications with the Environmental Protection Agency, says his team signed a terms of service agreement with a company named Socrata that would take oil spill information from the Gulf and make it postable.
What happens is you upload a spreadsheet and the world can use it without having to know how to use Excel. They get online tables that they can sort and filter in whatever way they want. And then the beauty of it is it gives you download options in Excel as an XML file, as an RSS feed, as a JSON feed, and then there's also some geodata stuff. So we got it into this third-party site that then spat it out in about seven different ways. Anyway, everybody will want it.
Finally, the Coast Guard's Cash says he looks ahead to the day when crisis commanders like himself can take advantage of advances in mobile technology and next-generation multiband smartphones, which are expected to have satellite capability.
Turn this into the single device that allows me to not only track the people, I could have handed this to vessels of opportunity, tracked them, wouldn't have had to screw in all of those things into the hull. They could have reported it out their situation. And quite frankly, one of the other pieces is when we have to communicate, one of our other major challenges was actually putting radios in the hands of everybody. We can turn these, because they're IP-based, we can turn them into radios so they can interoperate with land mobile radio systems. And I really think that's the area 5 years down the road that this becomes the solution for our responder.
That's Coast Guard Captain James Cash. At the Affirm Luncheon in Washington, I'm Max Kakis, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.